All right, this morning we're going to have you get a piece of paper right away. So grab a piece of paper, and I'm going to have you write out the bad news and the good news again for practice. Okay, so if you're writing an outline of the components of sharing the gospel, you've got, starts with the bad news. And that has two components. And then the good news. That has two components. So let's see what you can do to fill in the blanks briefly of that. I really want us to just learn this and own the basics of the gospel presentation. So from what we've done in the past, what is the 2 points of the bad news? And then the 2 points of the good news. And here's the answer. Okay, God, and you're going to be really emphasizing His justice, the bad news side of things. And then you're going to be speaking about man and emphasizing sin. The good news is Jesus Christ, or you could put gospel. And the response to that, turning to Christ, trusting in Christ, repenting and believing. So, God, man, Christ, and the response. It's very, very helpful just to remember those components, to have those down. And, of course, the little diagram that we're working through really is just explaining and that these 4 points. Okay, so today I'm going to go through that those two gospel presentations again. I've kind of reworked it a little bit based on some of your suggestions and further thinking about it. That's really what we're going to be doing is constantly trying to fine-tune it and get it better. And then we're going to enjoy going through each of these points, God, man and sin, Jesus and the gospel, 1 week on each one, and talk about some things. So for today, we're gonna talk about the gospel, kind of a basic gospel presentation, and I'll give you one that's a little more complicated that kind of hits a few more components that briefly in its gospel presentation that you can explode and explain with different passages, different cross references, different illustrations, if you want. Okay? Now, so you meet someone, you know, one of the ways to break the ice when you hear about their story is to pray for them. A lot of times I pray the gospel in front of unbelievers. That's a common open door, is to start with that. And a lot of times after the prayer, they're very thankful for it. And some even ask questions. So we're going to learn about transitioning into the gospel. We're going to have a whole hour on that at some point. But the being near to God, being far from God, those are some of the things that people will say as that are important to me, because I really want to emphasize the whole idea of separation from God as a definition of death. And being separated from God, and how Jesus brings us back to God. Nearness and farness from God, the presence of God, a mediator between God and man. It seems to be very visual with people. It's kind of where they're at. It's how you can transition. It certainly works well for diagrams, for hands. If you don't have a pencil and paper, to use your hands, this whole idea of separation works well. So we'll talk about that. So we'll do a simple version, a complicated version. We'll talk about what you like, what you don't like about that. I'm going to write that down. Then, when we get to it, because we'll have a little break from do some other things in CE, but we're going to look at those essential elements in the diagram. God, man, Jesus, and response. And what we're going to do is we're going to Here's what I thought were essential elements bulleted out from what I did in these two gospel presentations. Boom, boom, boom. Additions, subtractions of essential elements. So we'll talk about essential elements that we need to talk about God. Scripture references that are go-to for you. I have some in here. What are your favorite references that you... And we'll get a list of those as a church. And we'll get illustrations of that point. You're a pole vaulter, and you're trying to pole vault across the Grand Canyon. How's that going for you? Stuff like that for illustrations of faith in the wheelbarrow. It's Paul's go-to illustration about the nature of faith. We'll talk about it when we get to it. But we'll get a list of illustrations that we all like, and we'll get a list of that. Well, and then we'll talk about probing questions that people ask about God and about man that we need to be ready. And we'll just kind of get a list of that. So we'll have one. We'll have a gospel presentation done with a script done with four sheets. You can laminate them if you want, which is going to be a product of all of us in our hard work together that will be, when we're done, it's like this is the product of our work together, and take it and use it as a tool, as a help for your evangelism. That's where we're going. All right? Questions about that? I think it's going to be exciting to do this and to continue to make these things better. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then let me go through these again, these presentations, and see what you think and talk about it. Father, we're excited to learn a gospel presentation and to learn and try to improve upon it, get good at it. Lord, we recognize that good presenters of anything in life have learned a presentation, and then once they've learned that, they have made it their own, and they're then therefore equipped to share when and to whom and in different ways because they really own the message of their presentation. Father, that's true. Help us to not despise the process of learning this so that we might be better equipped to really say a word here or a word there as you lead and be accurate to your truth. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Don't do this. All right. So let's start out here with what we did last time. Okay, you ready? So if you want, I will send this to you via an email. I can do that if I remember. That's why I'm supposed to be doing the surface. So try to remind me. I'll have somebody help me do it because every time I do it, I learn it, the technology, and then I forget 2 weeks later. I'm just terrible at this stuff. But I'll try. If not, take notes on a piece of paper. So God's Word tells us that, or the Scriptures tell us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made you. He made me. He made all of us. And He made us in His image. That is, He created human beings to worship Him. He created human beings to walk with Him. And God finished His creation, and He called that creation. He went, voila, that is good. Not only just good, He said, it is very good. The God of the universe said it was very good. And there was perfect harmony initially. Perfect harmony, perfect peace. Man enjoyed intimate, joyful fellowship with God. But if you look around this world, that is simply, and we'd all agree, it ain't harmonious. It isn't like that anymore. It's not perfect peace anymore. Something is massively wrong. The world is broken. The world is filled with suffering. The world is filled with violence. The world is filled with injustices. then we are broken. We live broken lives. We have broken relationships. There's broken families. There's pain and there's sickness and there's disease and there's poverty and there's death all around us. We all experience this. In fact, we just talked about that. What in the world happened? Well, at this point, I would probably draw a person without a body. We talk about brokenness. Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God. They rebelled against God. They ignored God. They didn't trust God for the good. He said, this is very good. They said, I'll tell you what's very good, what I want to do. They trusted themselves for the good. They loved themselves rather than God. They served themselves rather than God. And so, because of that, because of their loving themselves, they decided, we're going to go our own way. And so they disobeyed a single command that God gave them. They disobeyed God's instruction. They disobeyed God's law. And the Bible calls this sin. It calls this sin. Horribly, sin, this living for self, this loving of self, it's horrible, but it's true that this sin is passed on from generation to generation as a curse. Every single person, all people, every person inherit sin's guilt and they inherit sin's corruption in the inside. It's inside corruption. Bible scholars call that the sin nature, the inner nature of sin, which just loves self. Everyone's about their own agenda. And that manifests itself as living according to their people's own standards. And it manifests itself and proves that when we disobey God's law found in His Word. We disregard it. We think it's inconsequential. Just like the lawyer who came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments from God? And Jesus summed up the whole law in these two commands. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, and this is no one's not convicted by this. No, the Spirit's got to convict it, but no one is saying, yep, I love the Lord my God with all my... These people are running their own way, just like we were. This sums up the whole law. You can expand on it, but I find that Jesus talking about those two great commandments are good. So you say, who's done this? Who's loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as himself? Who's done this? Well, the Bible says no one. And in fact, in the book of Romans, you might have heard of the book of Romans. Romans 3:23, we have all sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Further on in Romans, in 6:23, it says, the wages of the sin, the payment we get for that sin, is death. And if you were to try to summarize death, death is not normal. Death is part of the curse. And the Bible defines death with one word, separation. That's how the Bible defines death. In fact, in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, said Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities, that's another name for sin, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Separation from God in this life spiritually. And your sins have made a separation from God physically for all eternity in a place the Bible and frankly everybody on the street calls hell. Gehenna, if you want the actual term. Because they're all... Whatever. I'll keep going. So I should have started with the guy in fellowship. See, I just need to stick to this to show you how simple it is instead of... That's not necessary. So, what happens is because of that sin, man... is separated from God. So I doubled the arrow up. I think it's better. OK. Okay, at this point, you say, well, I thought God was loving. I mean, everybody's telling me that God is a God of love. And I say, He is loving. He is loving. He's merciful. He's full of compassion, but He's also the God of justice. He cannot overlook sin. He cannot overlook evil. He can't sweep it under the rug. If He is the morally perfect judge of all the earth, then He has to. He must punish His broken law wherever He finds it, or He's not a just judge. What just judge doesn't punish lawbreakers, for heaven's sakes? I like to use an illustration, which I won't share here, if they push me on that point. He must punish His broken law wherever He finds it, because He's a just God, a just judge. In fact, in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, listen to this verse, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all." That's how just and righteous God is. Now, in our lives, in my life too, not just yours, it's my life too. In our lives, sin leads to this severed relationship with God. Sin leads to this manifestation in our lives of brokenness. Instead of pursuing God to trust Him for the good in our lives, in our sin, we have rejected Him and fill our lives with various things to fill the emptiness, or try to find happiness without Him, to try to fix ourselves. And so we do various things when life's not working, to find a way around the curse of sin. We go opposite of God. We pursue money to try to fill that void and follow self. We try to pursue materialism or things, a new car, a fancy house. Maybe we try to pursue relationships to try to fill that. Maybe we're addicted to different things to try to kill the pain that we're feeling on the inside. Some even try to fix the hole inside themselves, and some even try to fix their relationship with God. And so they, as it were, turn towards God, and they try their, let's try to love God, or let's go to church, or let's play the piano for 30 years and hope that works. Let's try to do good things. Let's try to stop doing bad things. But we all fall well short of His glory, because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect, and God demands perfection. We fall well below His standard of perfection. So this is bad news, Jim. I'm talking to a guy named Jim. This is bad news, Jim. In fact, Hebrews 9:27 says, "In as much as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." Judgment's coming after death. All right, so you hung with me this far. There is good news. Did you know that the word gospel actually means good news in the original language? Yeah, I guess I'd heard that. Here's the good news. God is not only a lawmaker, but He is a love giver. He's a love giver. He's a father. He wants to bring many sons and daughters home into His family as adopted spiritual children. But we cannot get back. We cannot get back. There is a gap here between man and God. But here's the good news. The Bible actually prophesies. The Bible records and actually explains the coming of a Savior. And He will save His people from their sins. And His name is Jesus. Yeshua. It means the one who would save, the Savior. And so, what man couldn't do by trying and by filling up his holes, man couldn't do, which was get rid of sin and repair this broken relationship, God did by sending His only begotten Son into the world. So He sent His Son into the world. That's why we celebrate Christmas, the little baby in the manger. He sent His Son into the world. And this boy and man Jesus grew up and he always did what was pleasing to God. He always obeyed God's law every time. Not just with his lips, with his hands, with his feet, with his heart. His very motivations were perfect all the time. In fact, the scriptures say he was obedient even to the point of death, even the death on the cross. For the Bible had predicted, God so loved the world that he gave his son to actually gave him to do what? To go and die upon a cross for sinners. And in 6 hours, while he hung there on the cross, all of our sin, past, present, and future, motivations, actions, omissions, all of it was placed upon him. And God, in 6 hours, poured out his just judgment upon his only son upon the cross of Calvary. But you know what Jesus said at the very end? It is finished. It is finished. And what he meant was sin is finished. And then he died and he was buried. And then he rose from the grave and he proved that it was finished, that he had conquered death when he rose from the grave. And so Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he has purchased the right to offer you, Jim. He's purchased the right to offer you everything I'm talking about. I'm talking full forgiveness of all your sins. I'm talking that obedience that he performed. He offers that righteousness to give to you so that you actually, he fulfills God's law perfectly in your place. For the Bible says he made him, that is the Father made the Son, he made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on your behalf so that you might become the righteousness of God in him. And so, this is what Jesus did. And so if you would turn and trust, if you would turn from your sin, turn from your trying to please God with your good works, and you would turn to Jesus Christ as your only hope, then the Bible says at that moment, you're made a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're completed. And as you trust in him, you go through Jesus back to God. He is through the way of the cross. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, you remember this verse, right, Bill? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That relationship with God is restored. There's fellowship, there's nearness, there's joy, there's love, there's no longer separation. There's life. Eternal life begins. So that after you turn and trust, you're actually pursuing God, following Christ, and being formed into Christ, or transformed, changed more and more back into that perfect image of God. For Jesus is not just your Savior from sin. He wants to be the Lord of your life. So if you come to him, you won't be disappointed. Okay? So that's one way of doing it. Let me give you a little more complicated version. Well, then we'll talk. And I'll go a little faster and I'll just read this so I can get through it faster. You say, I want to do it differently. Praise God. I can't wait to hear your idea so I can change mine. That's going to be the whole point as we hammer through what verses you use, the illustrations you use, and we come up with this together. All right. Now, I'm a detailed kind of a guy. It bugs me to leave stuff out. I admit. All right. Now, this isn't that bad. I'll go quickly. God's Word. All right. Let's try something for 1 minute. Just do this. I'm a teacher. Flip over a new piece of paper. Get a new piece of paper. And I'll move this out of the way. Don't rehearse every verse. I want you to draw out that cycle that I just did. And see how you do. Draw it out. draw out that gospel presentation I just did. Humor me on this. Find a bulletin or some kind of piece of paper. I got some extra pieces here if you need them. And just try drawing that out. You say, oh no, I forgot. What's the outline? Oh, God, man, Christ, response. Now, draw it out. See how you do. Then we'll go through the more detailed one. And then we'll talk about some things that you think need to be addressed. And then we'll address them in the weeks to come. It's going to be fun. You know, I love alliteration. So sin, separated, turn, trust, follow, formed. I mean, sue me, right? Use your own terms for that. I mean, there's probably some better ways of doing that, and that'll be fun for us to talk those things through. I really think it'll be good. So I gave you a hint. I just was trying to help you with the words right there. If you're completing your cycle. So, believe it or not, you probably didn't do that poorly. I mean, Christ comes, that's the down arrow. He comes and lives the perfect life. He dies on the cross, the death you deserve, and he is rise from the dead, proving that his obedience and his sacrificial death actually worked, that it actually was finished for you. And if you would turn and trust in him, then you would then be completed, and right? And move into relationship with him where you follow him and are transformed into him. Okay. God's word tells us that in the beginning God created the heavens. I got to go fast. Heavens and the earth. He made you in his image and created humans to worship him and to walk with him in relationship. And God called his creation very good. Good and very good. And there was perfect harmony. And man enjoyed intimate, joyful fellowship with God. Someone gave me the idea to make man a little smaller than God. Good point. Anyways, this is how we tweak our thinking. But that's not true of our world. Something is dreadfully wrong. This world is absolutely broken. You just told about me, Bill. You just told about what's going on. There's suffering, there's violence, there's injustice. I'm not afraid of that question, why, if there's a good God. Bring it on, right? That's okay. We'll have to figure out how to answer that. And we are broken. Broken lives, broken relationship, broken families, pain, disease, and death. We are broken people. Why is that? Well, our ancestors Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They ignored God. They committed treason against God. They went their own way. And they decided to serve themselves rather than God. They decided to love themselves rather than God. So they manifested that heart desire for themselves through disobedience. God gave them one command. They threw it down. They didn't do it. They disobeyed God's instruction. They disobeyed his word. They disobeyed his command. They disobeyed his law. And the Bible calls this sin. Horribly, sin, this you can call sin, simply self-centered living instead of living for God. Horribly, this sin is passed on from generation to generation as a curse. And all people inherit the inward corruption of sin. The inward corruption of sin. and the legal guilt of sin. That I'm just going to symbolize like that. We inherit a nature that loves self, and we prove it every day by disobeying God's law found in His Word. In the Gospel accounts, I think two of them, Jesus, a lawyer, comes up to Jesus and says, "What are the two greatest commandments in the law?" And immediately Jesus says, "Here they are. Number one, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second, to love your neighbor as yourself." How are we doing on that? I mean, really, how are you doing on that? No, the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that in the book of Romans, Romans 3:23. And then a couple chapters later in that same book, it says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible defines death with one word: separation. In fact, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, he says, "But your iniquities," which is a fancy term for sin, "your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." And that separation starts the day you were born. Even before that, in the womb, you're separated from God spiritually. And one day, there will be a death that's not just spiritual death, but physical death, and that for all eternity in the place the Bible calls hell, or Gehenna. And so, sin has separated us from God. I know you thought God was loving, and you know, actually, you're right. He is loving. But make no mistake about it, God is a righteous and holy and perfect God. He is the God of all justice. He cannot overlook sin, broken law, and evil, and sweep it under the rug, and because He's the perfect morally right judge. He wouldn't be the perfect morally right judge if He did that. He must punish His broken law wherever He finds it. In fact, in the book of James, which is kind of the Proverbs of the New Testament, the book of James in chapter 1, verse 10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all." Now, our sin in our lives leads to a severed relationship with God. We don't have a relationship with Him anymore. And that manifests itself in a huge gap, a huge hole in who we are. And it's a massive void, a massive brokenness. And what our sin nature does, in our sin, we rejected God already. So we try to find our happiness without Him. We try to fix ourselves. And so we do various things when life is not working out to try to fix that. Perhaps we try to work really hard, make a lot of money and try to patch it. We buy a lot of stuff. Or maybe we try to fill the void that we feel through alcohol or drugs or recreation or sports. Any number of things except God. It will not be God. Any number of things we try to find our way around that curse of sin. In fact, some people actually try to get back to God by doing religious things. They go to church for 30 years. Their grandma played the organ. They do good things. They try to stop doing bad things. But they only get so far. They have to be perfect. In Matthew 5:48, it says, "Be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect." James said, if you stumble in one thing, you're guilty of all. I'm getting carried away again. But this is what happens. That's fine. As long as you own it, just take it where you need to take it. But we fall well short of His glory. We fall well short of His standard of perfection. And this is really bad news. In fact, one of the most important verses in the New Testament is Hebrews 9:27. Jim, I want you to listen to this. "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, where the just judge of all the earth will judge you." So what in the world are we going to do? There is good news. Are you ready for it? Did you know, by the way, that the word gospel means good news? So I'm about to share the gospel with you, the good news. And here's the deal. God is not only the perfect lawmaker, but my God is a giver of love. He is a father, and He wants to bring many sons and daughters to glory. And He's willing to bring people into His family and draw them into their presence as adopted spiritual children. But the problem is, we just can't bridge this gap. There's this gap here between God and man, and we cannot bridge it. We cannot get back to God. But the entire Bible, even the Old Testament, prophesies of this good news of the gospel. It prophesies, it records, and even explains the coming of this one, the coming of a Savior who would come and save His people from their sins. And you know His name. His name is Jesus. They called Him Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. And so what man couldn't do, God did. And God sent His only begotten Son into the world, out of heaven. He took upon flesh and He dwelt among us. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. But we also celebrate at Christmas that Jesus lived a perfect life that we have all failed to live. Not only in what He did, with what He said, with what His hands did, where His feet went, but what His brain thought, what His heart felt. He always did what was pleasing to His Heavenly Father. He was obedient even all the way to the end, to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because as point of fact, God sent His Son to get rid of our sin and to gain us the perfect righteousness that we couldn't have. And so Jesus went to the cross, and in 6 hours, God poured out upon Him His righteous justice and His anger against sin, all of it. For all, everyone who would believe, He poured it out upon them. And Jesus at the end said, "It is finished." And He proved that He actually had paid the penalty of sin on the cross for you and for me when He rose up from the grave. Death could no longer contain Him. Sin had been taken care of. And He rose up, having secured and accomplished the right to offer forgiveness to you, Jim. Perfect righteousness to you, to eternal life to you. That's what Jesus did. And so if you would turn from your sin, admit that you are a sinner, turn from your sin, even turn from your good works, trying to please God through your good works. If you turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone, who said in John 14, you know this verse, Jim, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." That's why the cross is that bridge and the only bridge between God and man. So if you would trust Him, here's what God would do. He would complete you. He would give you a new heart, a new creation in Christ Jesus. He would take that guilt of your sin and remove it. And He would write 100% in that place. "For He made Him," the Father made Him, that is Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God in Him." But not only that, but you go back into perfect, through Jesus, you go back into perfect fellowship with God. So now you're pursuing God. You're not pursuing self. You're pursuing God. You're following Jesus. And you're being formed more and more into the image of Christ. In fact, it kind of looks like this. You're 100% righteous. And now some of the evil is going away, and even in the inner man, you're getting restored more and more back to God. And one day, we will be with Him in glory. No more sin on the inside or out, clothed in the righteousness of Christ forever. That's really sloppy. What I did there is I wanted... I just... I got to find a way of talking about the new birth. I got to find a way of dealing with the justification of imputation. I want to find a way of relationship, and I want him to be Savior and Lord. I want to touch on all of it and then be able to expand it. So, we have plenty of time. We have 8 minutes. We always go 5 minutes over. It's not 5 minutes over anymore. Okay, pluses and minuses of this that I can kind of be thinking about the next couple of weeks as we then explode and go through illustrations and scriptures and essentials and questions that people have on each of these components. Kim?
No, I was just going to say with that, the 100%, I think that song, His Robes for Mine, exchanging with the robes, is a good analogy. And you use it with the kids in class or whatever. It's like I wear a red robe and I exchange it with him. I also, if I'm witnessing, I point out that if Jesus was just a man, he could only be on the cross and pay the penalty for one person. But he's more than just a man; he's also God, and so he can take everybody's red robe and exchange his white righteous robe, and that's how God will see us in His glory.
Good. I think that's good to emphasize the God-man nature, and you know, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, but he's fully God and fully man. Good.
Do you think that man should be inside the triangle with God?
We are in Christ and he is in us.
Yeah, for the in Christ relationship, I think, but you know, I think for the purpose of this, it might confuse matters, but so let me write that down, though. Question. I have to think about all this stuff. This is all good stuff. Should the man be, or woman, be inside the triangle?
Why do you need the triangle? If you took that away, then you just have God and man, and you could focus more on the relationship maybe. Is the triangle significant?
The triangle was the Trinity. And I don't talk about it, but I want them to ask about it. So that's why I put the triangle. But, yeah, let me just put why the triangle. I just want to remember this.
You need it in there, certainly in the culture that we're in. The Trinity needs to be in there somewhere because of Islam.
Yeah.
There's so many reasons.
Yeah, and you need to be able to expand and explode every aspect of that diagram. Okay, this is going to be fun. I'll go quick, Bob, and then we'll just kind of work my way over.
Even in glory, God and man are not
the same. Yeah, so if she's speaking about union with Christ when she does that, but it could be mistaken for God. Yeah, and then you guys know, right, and you know that erasing the black dot of the guilt, which is outside of the man, did you notice that? That's why it's a robe. Erasing all that and putting 100% is the doctrine of justification. And I need an eraser for this, but it's a black dot with the eraser. You know how I like to do that? I like to do that like Kim does. I draw two stick figures. I draw an accountant. I do Philippians 3, and I exchange those things. And if they were to ask about the black dot, I would go there and to Luke 18, and then to Philippians 3, and then to Titus 3. You got to have a way of expanding each of these components. Kim.
It's kind of a negative, I think. I think the talking about sin and how everybody sins, I think that's all great, but I like to personalize it a little bit more. And I know this one you did a little bit more by saying, you know, how are you doing? But I think that causes people to, if you're just generalizing about sin, it causes everybody to think about everybody else who sins.
Okay.
And not yourself.
Okay, so the law is meant to be a school teacher. Well, let's just talk about Pastor Dan's sermon, just to make it simple. There's twofold purpose of the law. What is it again? A mirror and a curb. So you hold up a mirror to a real person, not to a generic object, and it shows the exactness of it. So I think that that's good. And so the law can be expanded. I have used with some measure of, you got me? You got me with the two greatest commandments. But I think the Ten Commandments, I think, and then Jesus' expansion of the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount can come alongside those and pound them personally. And I would say as we get to man, we will want to expand our use of the law and see where we go with our discussion on that. Do you agree? That's what you're saying. I totally agree. Beep, 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 beep. Audria, and then, okay, we're doing good. And then Jim, you'll be the last, unless I decide not to. Audria.
But the man with the emptiness, is that making a statement or leading to an implication about a God-shaped hole in your heart?
Yeah, that's basically supposed to be a brokenness. Person who's broken.
Does that mean, I know some people are uncomfortable with a statement like that, that we have this God-shaped hole in our heart that Jesus just comes to fill, as in almost a creating a thirst for the perks of the gospel and not the gospel itself.
Right. Yeah, we talked a lot about that last week. About brokenness being even used at all. And I think it can be, but I think you have to make sure it stays a symptom and that the real problem is sin and separation. And so I would never use that God-shaped hole, although eternity is written in the heart. And so I do think that there's the remainders of indwelling. There's sin, but there's also the image of God. There's a knowledge of God in creation itself. And I think people understand that there's this, that they got a problem if they admit it. So there might be a better way of illustrating that or in talking about that. And I would love to hear what you guys say about that. Make it better. So let me put that down as a negative. That this little diagram here, is that a God-shaped hole in the heart? Maybe there's a better way of illustrating that. Jason.
Yeah, I just thought, didn't it feel like a decision point for the person? We talked about brokenness and turning, but the judgment to come, it has to be part of those who don't believe. Right?
Yeah.
Christ, you just say he died for all of those. You don't really, what happens to the other people who are in this diagram?
Yeah, and I tried to be very clear that the separation from God is in a place called hell, and that forever physically. Yeah, that's a good point. I think that in the response here, okay, so your response is, okay, and maybe you put it in the middle. Look, there's three possible responses here. Number one, you actually, God causes you to believe this. Number two, you reject it. Number three, you say, I want to hear more later. Acts chapter 17. But let me tell you, really, there's only two responses. There's only two type of people. And you could work that in the end as you're pressing for a response, which I think is a biblical way of sharing the gospel. So I think that could go in the middle. I thought about that, you know, and depress that a little bit and turn to a passage on that and make that real. Look, you're still in your sins. And there's verses for that. And yeah, John 3:36 is a great one. Same chapter as John 3:16. And you can say that and they just boom and they go right to it. So let me just put John 3:36 and let's just put that we need to press for response and the two types. Who are you? And what are you going to do about it today? Jim, and if we have time, we'll do Andy, but I don't want to do what I did last time.
So you talked about relationships, having a new heart, Lord and King rolling that in. A great place to do that is when you do your follow-on to your response, your two types. And if you respond,
yeah,
it looks like this, then you will receive a new heart. And with that new heart, you will then go into relationship with God. And then over time, you will want to serve Him as both your Lord and your King.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not going to happen immediately. And we've got to be a little bit careful with that.
Yeah.
But we don't want them to, hey, if we turn to trust Christ and apply tomorrow, don't I feel different? Because not everybody feels different the next day.
Right. So how do you speak about this conversion and the come, follow me and take up your cross? And that's what I want to do. I want them to get the idea. So the response is both of those arrows. And I think we have to be really get better and better at figuring out how to do that well. It's not just sign a card. It's not just walk an aisle and you've got your fire insurance. And we need to figure out how to explain that in the scriptures to go to better and better. I think it does need a little bit more clarity. But I think we can get there. And I think we need to include it somehow. Okay, is this valuable of an exercise? Should we vote on it? All right. It's been really valuable for me to go through this. I want to get better and better and better and better at sharing the gospel of Christ with unbelievers in my life. That's my goal, and that's my goal is to go do this together. Okay? Father, thank you for this discussion. Thank you for what we have rehearsed. It is a wonderful, wonderful gospel. It's a horrendous situation that we are in due to Adam and Eve's sin and that transmission of that sin to all of us. We thank you that there is a Savior, that He is alive, that He does offer a finished salvation to all who would repent and believe in the gospel. So we're thankful for the truth of this, that this is real, that this is worthy of our attention. Bless us as we think it through in the next weeks to come, that we would improve upon this and grow and actually then go out and learn to do this and to tell some great stories of what the Lord did and the questions we're hearing and that we grow together in this whole process of discipleship through evangelism, leading hopefully to the conversion and then discipleship of following Christ and walking with people on this hard road home to heaven. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, go get your kids right away. And we need to exit out of here and move to talk outside today. It's beautiful outside. Let's take it outside and clear this room out, please.
So it's not important to have perfect illustrations, but I was just brainstorming as I was sitting there.
Oh, good.
Keep out God as a triangle.
Yeah.
We're circles with a triangle in His image,
mm-hmm.
but we're still man. The difference between yeah. God and man in the beginning.
Yep.
And Jesus, the triangle, took on flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And now we, through Him, our spirit, the thing turned into God, is darkened. Darkened
yeah.
our whole
yeah.
life. Through Christ, now we get a new heart. A God
yeah.
made for God again in His image.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can you play around with that and write that out?
Just
for fun?
Something you're kind of like 90%.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. Last time I talked for someone like 45 minutes afterwards and then turn it off.